AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Extreme heat across much of the country. In Chicago, the heat index will make it feel like 110 degrees today. That heat moving eastward. More than 60 Philadelphia area schools are letting kids out early because there's no air conditioning in the classrooms. Members of a congressional task force investigating the attempted assassination of Donald Trump visited Butler, Pennsylvania this week.
After the lawmakers toured the fairgrounds, Democratic Representative Glenn Ivey making it clear that the task force is united in its mission.
We weren't going to let politics get in the middle of this, that we were going to work together to get this done in a very quick and expeditious way.
Members of the bipartisan group saying they're focused on a swift and thorough investigation. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg says senior Biden administration officials pressured Facebook to censor some COVID-19 content during the pandemic. Zuckerberg writing a letter to Congress this week saying, "I believe government pressure was wrong, and I regret that we were not more outspoken about it." This is ABC News. A key decision could come soon as today in Utah in the case of Corey Richens, accused of killing her husband and then writing a children's book.
A hearing is underway to determine if there's enough evidence to put 34-year-old Corey Richens on trial for the murder of her husband, Eric. Prosecutors say in 2022, Corey poisoned Eric with a cocktail laced with 5 times the lethal dose of fentanyl. The couple's housekeeper, Carmen Lauber, claims she sold fentanyl to Corey. But the defense argues prosecutors promised Lauber a reduced sentence in exchange for her testimony.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. Testimony continues today in the trial of the FTC's challenge to a merger of grocery giants Kroger and Albertsons. And it was a deal definitely too good to be true. First class airline seats for 85% off. Qantas Airlines saying it was an accident that $20,000 tickets were selling for $3,400 each. About 300 were sold. The airline says people who bought them can still fly, but in business class. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah.
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More campaign stops here in Wisconsin this week as the two presidential campaigns eye to get the Badger State on their side. Former President Donald Trump is coming to La Crosse on Thursday. He'll be hosting a town hall. And just announced on Monday, Vice Presidential candidate J.D. Vance is coming to De Pere. He'll deliver a speech at a business. Vance in particular has been here a lot recently, even joking last week that he basically lives in Wisconsin now. The last visit from the Harris-Walz campaign was in Milwaukee on Tuesday. No word yet on their next visit. And some fast food workers in southern Wisconsin will soon be out of work. KFC is closing more than 24 locations across the Midwest. This specific group of restaurants is owned by a franchisee called FYM. 5 Wisconsin locations have shut their doors. They're in Beloit, Janesville, Reedsburg, Stoughton, and Watertown. That leaves 81 people without jobs. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Badgers ready for a new season. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Badgers host Western Michigan on Friday night. Wisconsin finished with a disappointing 7-6 record last season. Head coach Luke Fickell.
And if I would say anything about last year, that's where I think after week 1 and 2, I did recognize one of our shortcomings was our ability to problem solve. As things changed within a game, as things changed from the start of a game, because, I felt like last year we were really good with the things we prepared for. but we were not nearly as good with the things that we hadn't prepared for and to be able to problem solve. And I think we'll get a great look at that in week one.
NFL, the Packers have a new backup quarterback. They traded a 7th-round pick to the Titans for Malik Willis, who now has to learn a new playbook by next week.
Without preparation, you never feel comfortable. You never feel like you're able to go do your best. I just want to take every day like this my last and just learn as much as I can, retain that information, and go out there and try to do it the next day.
That's the Packers' new backup quarterback, Malik Willis, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be brutally hot and humid again today, partly cloudy with a high of 94. The heat index 105 or better this afternoon. We do have a chance of thunderstorms later today and tonight, and a couple of those could be strong to severe. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. It will be cooler with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 78.
Crude and Dom.
Join us as the Devils reunite. Crudy is excited because he's been credentialed for the Donald Trump Town Hall in Lacrosse coming up on Thursday. Be here for the greatest radio show ever.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 3 to 6.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
Transmitted by wire.
Here is the latest news brought into your own living room.
You'll be hard to satisfy with anything less.
Let's give them something to talk about.
Talk is cheap.
Gib, gib, gib. Who is gossiping?
It's the John and Gordy Show.
This is Hi-Fi Plus.
And that's the way it is.
We'll do it live.
Only on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Take it away, boys.
All right. Sounds good. John and Gordy Family Show. Gordy's out today, and Catherine Lake is here in the studio. And also in the studio is Terry Bell, our news guy. And we're going to take a look at the big story. But first,
Sam has a very
important message
that he has to tell us. Yes.
The John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Available on Madison's east and west sides or online at Verlo.com. That's the big story.
That is the biggest story. That's where Gordy is. He's at Verlo.
He just fell asleep there. That's right.
Yes, exactly. The best mattress ever.
Wait a minute. Terry is here. He's got a bigger story.
Terry Bell has the big story. The news director of all of Civic Media.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hello. Hi.
Welcome home.
Yeah, it's nice to be back.
It's nice to be in.
Glad you made it.
Yeah.
Air conditioning, isn't it?
It's a slap in the face. Man,
it
I
is.
Tell you.
I know.
Brittany's going to have an answer about that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the real big story today is the heat. But Brittany Merlot will have details about that. So I will talk a little bit about the presidential ballot in Wisconsin. So yesterday afternoon, the state Supreme Court turned down a lawsuit that the Democratic Party had filed trying to keep Jill Stein off the ballots. You know, the Democrats are concerned that Jill Stein might take some votes away from Kamala Harris. So that's really the motivation. They say it's because their claim was that the Green Party was seeking to be on the ballot illegally. Their justification for that was that there are no Green Party office holders anywhere in Wisconsin, which they were trying to make the case that that's a requirement. The Supreme Court said, yeah, we don't think so.
Isn't that a bit of a catch-22? You can't be one until there is one?
I think it was kind of a straw man argument anyway.
Yeah.
I think that the Democrats were just trying to keep Jill Stein off the ballots because, you know, the margins in Wisconsin are incredibly close. Just a few thousand votes decide Wisconsin's presidential electors. So, you know, it was a strategic thing. They gave it a shot and it did not seem to work out for them. So there will be the Green Party candidate on the ballot.
You know, Madison is what brought me to the Midwest. I was here 30 years ago plus and started in radio, did 10 years, and then off to Chicago. So I've been away from Wisconsin too long, first of all. Jill Stein did this to Hillary, did she not? Did she not take just about the number of votes that Hillary would have gotten to win Wisconsin?
Oh, that sounds about right. Yeah, and that's, you know, the concern that and you know, and to be perfectly fair, nobody takes votes away from anybody.
In reality, no
candidate is entitled to anyone's vote or can count on them. You know, not every, you know, Democrat has every Green Party vote. Green Party voters could go a number of places.
Right.
So, you know, we have a system where, you know, candidates from multiple parties can run if they meet all the qualifications. And sounds like anyway the Green Party has.
Has Green Party got offices anywhere in the country?
I don't know.
Off the top of my head, I couldn't say.
Couldn't say.
Yeah.
It's certainly. Well.
You know, one other thing, I think this is a news story, but no one's really covering it. And that is, you know, just watching the horse race again, as we don't have a lot of coverage and a lot of news stories at this point. So the horse race is getting a lot of press now. And that is that the debate is coming up. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing now is they're trying to get the parameters set for that debate. And what we're seeing now is Trump, who is not getting a whole hell of a lot of attention or publicity at this point, is contesting certain parts of the debate and then putting out there that maybe he won't be at the debate. And that is getting headlines, and it's manipulating the news media. And I just think somewhere along the way, the media itself should police itself and maybe even investigate that part of the story is being manipulated by, you know, very simple statements from candidates struggling to get the attention that they don't deserve.
What are you going to do with that, Terry?
that's a campaign's job is to put messages out there they think will resonate, and
right.
It's, you know, the
is it the responsibility of media?
Responsibilities to try to, you know, sort through exactly what you said.
Yeah.
I'm not going to defend what other news organizations do.
Right.
Sounds like a story all unto itself, though. I think something that somebody should look into.
All right.
I feel badly manipulated.
I really have a lot of work to do.
Thank you, Terry.
I know. I'm putting you on the spot.
You put him on the spot. Now he's leaving. Jeez,
he's
Louise, John.
Well, I just have this question.
He's our news director.
I know. I know. Well, coming up later on, we're going to be talking to Jim Santel.
Yeah.
He'll be in here. He has Amicus, a law review on Saturday from 9 to 11. Fantastic program. This guy, you know, former U.S. attorney, Justice Department official, and he knows his stuff. And we're going to talk. We got some really interesting information.
I think Jim is our explainer in chief.
Yeah.
Jim Santel is really smart about this stuff.
Well, absolutely. I mean, he's on top of all this stuff. In fact, he was also going to talk about something that's going on in France. But we're also going to talk about, I hope anyway, Arizona's proof of citizenship, a rule blocking a ban of non-competes.
Oh, that's big for us. You know, if you left this radio station not being able to go to another radio station overnight, you'd have to wait, right?
Right.
I don't think we have non-competes here, actually,
but and the Biden administration did away with them.
Yeah.
But not anymore. It's blocked.
Nice. So,
yeah, I know. It's kind of an acquiescent to big business. And OSHA almost lost a case that would have prevented, some safety issues to be taken care of at a company, and we'll try to get into that a little bit later with Jim Santel.
Occupational
safety. A little while from now.
Hazard Administration. What does OSHA stand for precisely again?
Occupational Safety and Health Administration.
And Health Administration.
Yeah.
That's probably right. Yeah. Very good. Oh, Jim's going to have all that. And Brittany's going to do the weather in a little bit. And we're going to have Hannah from the Alzheimer's Association.
Waiting in the lobby.
Is she here already?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
That's a tough topic. Alzheimer's, I would warrant that there are very few people within our listening area who have not known someone who's fallen to Alzheimer's. Grandparent, parent. I lost my mom to Alzheimer's.
Well, yeah, and there's dementia as well.
Yeah.
Alzheimer's, all of these new drugs that are coming out to help treat it or slow it down.
Slow it down.
Perhaps you'll have some information on that as well.
Yeah, hopefully she will. Yeah.
All right.
So let's get into something here, and it is Kamala is out there, and she is talking to the people. She went into a barber shop recently, and if you have cut 160, and I hope you do.
She so often do. Yes, he does. Excellent. Right. So what is this going to be about?
So we have a special program next Monday. And we had a lot of cuts for that, and I kind of mixed everything in, and that's why we're short.
We're jumping ahead. Of them here. Okay, all right.
But anyway, Kamala is out there visiting a barbershop, and this is her conversation, and this is important because it's a black barbershop. And I have been into minority neighborhoods in the area here as well. And when I talk to a few of the people, and it's just because they noticed my laptop says the U.S. Census Bureau on it. And then they say, oh, well, you're from there. What are you doing for me, you know?
Fair enough.
So I get these complaints all the time.
Yes, you do.
And they don't vote. They don't get counted in the census. They avoid it. They don't want anybody to get into their lives from the government. The government has done nothing for them, so they're not going to help the government. Hmm. And that's the attitude. And I think this deals with just that fact. Let's check it out.
I'm Kamala Harris. How you
nice
doing?
To nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Good luck on this campaign.
Thank you. I need your help.
We need you.
Okay. We all need each other.
Yeah.
We all need each other here. On the block party.
Okay.
I can tell you got a lot of friends. I'm going to give you a few.
I got a few friends.
I know you do. We got to make sure everybody's registered.
Yeah.
What are you
teach
hearing?
Them the right way.
What are you hearing? What are folks
I can't tell you what I'm hearing now.
I got to hear the barbershop talk.
I mean, real life, truth to be told, a lot of people don't like to vote because they think votes get stolen. You know,
That's the way
we get done when we vote.
That's real.
It's hard to convince somebody to go out there and do that.
Yeah, that's
so
real.
We need somebody to stand up for what we believe in and know what we're going through. You know
that's
what I'm saying?
Right.
They can't just ride through here, stop in for a second, and then don't come back after
right.
they get elected, and that's what happens.
That's
they come, they chill with you till they get elected.
Yeah.
Then once they elected, they don't even know you no more.
Yeah.
Walk right past you. So,
yeah.
I mean, you just need people that's going to stand up and do what they say they're going to do.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right. You're right. And it's about also people feeling that they're being ignored and beat down. And so they think, well, my vote doesn't matter. But, you know, there until we change the system, there are two groups that have power in elections, like just straight talk.
Right.
People who write checks and people who vote.
Yeah.
And so we got to remind everybody that they got to vote, because that's power.
Mm-hmm.
There's real power in voting. There's so many signals that suggest that your vote doesn't count.
Right.
But it won't count if you don't vote.
Yeah, I don't vote.
All right, now. Okay, I'm counting.
I think she changed his mind.
Yeah, I think so.
I think she changed his mind.
And it's just one of those things. If you go out there and you talk to the people and you hear what they have to say, and you heard them, you know, people aren't interested.
Yeah.
They're not going to help the government out. But in this case, she tried to convince them, and I think she made a good case.
Showing up. Showing up again. Showing up a third time. Showing
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. And showing up and helping people understand what some of the other opinions are out there, what people are actually trying to do, as opposed to fighting some of the rumors and some of the negativity that's already out in the media. So, I think it's great that she gets out there and does this. Fantastic candidate for president.
Yeah.
All right. And how much time do we have? I don't know if we have enough time for this.
Next cut? No, we can tease
okay.
it.
Okay.
What's it going to be?
Well, it's going to be Pete Buttigieg. You know, he was asked a question about why he appears on Fox News all the time.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he had such a great explanation. And if you haven't heard this, stick around. This is just fantastic stuff.
Well, here's the thing, John. Our listeners are probably more lefty than righty.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to talk to the people on the right.
Yeah.
They won't hear him otherwise if he doesn't go where they are.
And that's what he's saying. Yeah, it's great stuff. It really
Can't
is.
Wait
it,
to hear
only,
about Pete
only,
Buttigieg.
Only the way Pete Buttigieg could put it.
It's 77 degrees at 718.
Brittany Merlot's coming up.
Next.
Listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
WMDX, 92.7 FM and 1580 AM, the John and Gordy Family Show with Catherine in today for Gordy. I'm John Peterson, and we've got Brittany Merlot on the line right now. Brittany, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. How are you this morning?
Well, you know, we're He's putting agitated. Up with this. We're, you know, well, yeah, I get irritated by humid weather and high dew points.
Cannot take
so
it.
So do I.
You do too, I know. You love being outdoors, and not if it's 100-something, yeah. Right? The heat index? Tell us what's going on.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so Bosque Bell yesterday, they hit 114 as
what?
A heat index.
What?
Yes.
Bosque Bell?
I know.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
114. That is scorching.
Yeah.
It was sizzling out there yesterday. I felt like I was in a frying pan. I'm not kidding.
Now, why
you know,
was it
you walked
just,
outside.
Why was it just Bosque Bell? Why wouldn't it be the whole state under the same bubble?
Well, so interesting that you ask me that. So a lot of the heat made its way to southwest Wisconsin yesterday. A lot of it's going to be into southeastern parts today. But the more cornfields that you have around you, you probably felt a little bit more humid than the rest of us. Because the corn sweats just like we sweat. And we would add to, of course, the humidity and the moisture in the air around us. So that's kind of why over there is a little bit more humid versus your cityscape.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Well,
you knew that already.
I knew that. You know, we worked at a radio station in the middle of a cornfield.
Yes, we did.
So it was never comfortable.
Never.
Wow. I did not know that.
How long is this going to be going on, Brittany?
Oh, goodness. Today is about the last day of the extreme heat. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's going to stay just towards the southern part. I think your high temperatures today will be right around 90 degrees, about 91 or so. But when you factor in the humidity still hitting the mid-70s, it's going to feel about 108 degrees today in Madison.
Wow. That's just unsafe. You can't be out there moving about. No mowing a lawn today.
No, I would not do
no
that.
No activities outside. I would not go outside, even to walk.
You're just done. You're just going to stay here
but
all night.
I got to play with the Kraken, though, my little border collie. Oh, that's so much fun.
It's kind of weird. It looks like a ghost town up in Wausau yesterday. Oh, yeah. A lot of people are usually outside doing things.
Yeah.
Not yesterday. We all stayed in the AC. What was it like in Madison?
Pretty much the same way. Yeah. Not a lot of people out here.
Nope. Back and forth in the car to the grocery store.
And you guys got to avoid the storms last night. A lot of us up here up north are without power right now. We had about 60 to 70 mile per hour winds come through around midnight last night.
No.
Yes.
Are we getting that storm tonight?
A lot of trees down.
Are we getting those storms tonight? Probably.
So what's happening? Yeah, we've got the cold front right now. It is draped right across the state, and it is going to be slowly dropping southward. So by this evening, chances for showers and storms on the stronger side do head further south towards you guys. So there is a slight risk for severe storms. Hail and damaging wind gusts are the big risks.
All right. What a way to leave it. Thank you so much for that news.
Oh, you're welcome. Summer. Gotta love it, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Volatility. Thanks, Brittany.
All right, Brittany.
You're
thanks.
Welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, it's time once again to introduce a guest on our program this morning. It is Hannah Van from the Alzheimer's Association. Welcome to the studio.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me today.
It's good having you. You know, there's a lot of medical news lately about some of the ways of treating Alzheimer's. What can you tell us about? Do you have any of that information?
Yeah, a little bit. And it's ever-changing, which is great, right? We're hopefully going to see more treatments. There's a lot in the pipeline in the way of research right now. A lot of that being funded by the Walk to End Alzheimer's, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But the most recent is one called Kisunla. They always have a lot of fun names with these new treatments.
That's a drug?
Yeah.
Say it again.
Kisunla.
Kisunla.
Yes. And so the treatments that are available right now, one being Kisunla, that's the most recent, are done via infusion. So an IV treatment, typically every 4 weeks. And they're only available right now to people that are living in the early stages or have what we call MCI, mild cognitive impairment.
Is it for slowing the process?
Exactly. Yep, it's for slowing the progression. So that's why, too, you'll hear in our world of Alzheimer's, we talk about the importance of being diagnosed early, right? And going to your doctor, even when you're like, no, this isn't Alzheimer's or dementia or, you know, this is something else. But just being proactive or being proactive to your loved ones, to your spouse, and just kind of helping monitor them to know when it's time to start talking to a doctor. And hopefully it's not Alzheimer's or a form of dementia, right? But it could be something else. So early diagnosis is huge.
Yeah. There's such... what's the word for it when everybody's so different? I kind of lost my word, of course, because I'm having early Alzheimer's. But the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's is so marked to me because I experienced both. My dad is a paraplegic, lived to 93, and only in the last few years was he like, you can do my bills for me. It's okay. But up until then, he was on top of it, just sharp as a tack. Yeah. Mom started to repeat herself in a very distinct way that we knew. This is not just regular dementia.
Sure.
It's the telling the stories in the same phone call the same way at the beginning and 10 minutes later. It's very, for us, it was obvious.
But that's not really early stage at that point, is it?
I mean, it can be. Everybody's different. And in a lot of our like educational series, too, we talk about exactly what you just said, Catherine, the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia, because dementia is really this umbrella term, and Alzheimer's is one of 90 forms of dementia.
90 forms?
Yes. So so many forms. And so I'd encourage you, like I said, too, we have so many different educational resources available that go really in the weeds if you want to talk about like effective communication strategies for someone living with Alzheimer's. Or the basics, right? Knowing the basic 10 signs, because that's the other thing I always try to share. It is much more than memory loss, Alzheimer's and dementia. Hmm. You can experience so many other symptoms. And so it's just important.
Some more of those.
Super like easy things of a really common one, like actually you just experienced. So there's a difference between forgetting something, but remembering it later.
Right.
And recalling it. People with Alzheimer's and dementia, they will forget about it. And 10 minutes later, they'll say it again because they don't recall that they just told you, you know, for the 10th time, you know. So there's different things that kind of go along with it. Impact in your sleep, impact in your speech, your general health, vision. As you get older, your peripheral vision kind of goes in. People with Alzheimer's and dementia, it's very, very limited. So as you come up to your mom or your dad or a loved one at a senior care facility, we always say to approach from the front, right?
Because startle them.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's interesting. Almost that is a test. Mm-hmm. To know whether you have early stages. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly.
And well, how does it affect your sleep? You mentioned sleep. How do you know? I mean, as you get older, you have a more difficult time to sleep anyway.
Yeah, and everybody's different, right? So just simply impacting like your REM cycles and things of that sort. Maybe you used to be somebody who would pass out and you'd sleep all night till 7 a.m. when you'd wake up. And now, again, maybe a spouse or a partner is realizing you're really tossing and turning, or maybe you even
getting out of bed.
Yes, getting out of bed, you know, walking around, needing to drink something, all those things.
All right, we're going to have to get to the walk because we're running out of time
here. All right.
Yep.
Well, tell us about that.
Yeah. So the Walk to End Alzheimer's is our largest fundraiser here in the Dane County area. Mm-hmm. Our goal is to raise over $200,000, and I'm super excited to share that we are halfway there.
Oh, my gosh, already?
Yes. So we've got a lot of amazing sponsors, but the walk itself is Sunday, October 6th, and it's at Warner Park in Madison.
ALZ.org. Navigate to Madison's, and you can find your way there. we're going to have you back.
All right.
We're going to talk about this again, Hannah.
Yes, I can't wait.
Oh, definitely. We have so many more questions to ask.
So many more. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your time.
All right.
Jim Santel's coming up.
It's the John Gordy Show. John Gordy Show.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Tuesday. We're in for a hot one today. Wisconsin's heat advisory means it might feel like 100 or more degrees in some areas. This is in part due to the humidity. Remember that if you are hot, so are your animals. Grace Larson is a graduate student at UW-Madison working with dairy calves. She says the heat's impact on calves can be detrimental. She has some advice to keep your animals cool.
I have gotten really lucky to be part of a study that looked at the use of solar-powered fans that were attached to the back of the hutch. And I think that this could be a really effective tool for farmers who use a hutch system because there aren't really a lot of things out there for hutches. And it really helps to improve air quality as well as intake and thermoregulatory behavior. Otherwise, in like a pen setting, you can treat them kind of just like a normal lactating cow and have them have fans and soakers and things like that. And I think those are just as helpful.
Grace Larson along with us, a graduate student at UW-Madison working with dairy calves. Stick around. We'll take a look at more agribusiness news in 60 seconds.
Curious about how to eliminate weeds in organic vegetable farming? Get answers at the Oats Organic Weed Control Workshop, co-hosted with Marble Seed on September 19th in Athens, Wisconsin. Farm owner Cad Becker and organic weed control expert Sam Tilton will guide participants through the many vegetable weeding tool options available. You'll tour the farm learning about weed ecology and how to adjust your approach to match field conditions. Visit organicagronomy.org to register and secure your spot today.
All right, team, pay attention to this game film about Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans. See here? When dairy farms grow Plenish soybeans for their cows,
they have lower overall feed costs.
Good eye, Jake.
And they maximize milk fat production.
So they increase the return on their investment.
Well, let that be a lesson to you. For lower feed costs and higher milk fat and dairy cows, what do we plant?
Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans.
Learn more at pioneer.com/happycows.
Today, the Wisconsin Ag Coalition is hosting candidates running for state office on a few farm visits across Dane County. The goal of the event is to build relationships so that state candidates can successfully represent agriculture if elected this fall. The group is visiting Bear Crop Science in DeForest and Hague Dairy Farm in Dane. I plan to make it out to one of the stops today, so look for pictures at Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. In other news, you're going to want to get your Packers watch party tickets before they're gone. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke and the Wisconsin FFA Foundation are co-hosting this event. This will be at Pam's residence in Titletown, known as Pambo. This will be for the September 6th game as the Packers take on the Eagles in Brazil. It'll also feature live music and plenty of food and drink. Find more at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be brutally hot and humid again today, partly cloudy with a high of 94. The heat index 105 or better this afternoon. We do have a chance of thunderstorms later today and tonight, and a couple of those could be strong to severe. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. It will be cooler with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 78.
For the record, good sir, are you saying people that buy or sell with the Aaron Weber Group get the best price with updated market reports and instant property value quotes?
I am, Senator. They also do virtual or in-person meetings, too.
You expect us to believe that the Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber, is Madison's go-to real estate expert with results?
Yes.
Order! That's the Aaron Weber Group. Move to Madison.com. Order in the court.
As a dairy farmer from Lodi, I know that Joan Baldwin delivers for Wisconsin farmers, because when our farm faced tough times, Joan stepped up to fight for us. Working to lower taxes, improve rural roads, and secure support for farm programs, Joan Baldwin puts farmers first. So when it comes to protecting my farm and my cows, I trust Joan Baldwin. She's always stood with us, now let's stand with her. Vote Joan Baldwin for State Senate. Paid for by Volunteers for Agriculture, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's agent or committee.
Maggie Dawn.
A dozen Republican White House lawyers who served in the administrations of Presidents Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and George W. Bush just endorsed Kamala Harris?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons at 2.
Up in the morning at the crack of dawn.
Morning has broken.
Now the morning sun is shining like a red rubber ball.
Woke up.
It's also very hot.
Tried to comb across my head.
7 a.m. comes too fast.
Way too fast. WMDX 92.7 FM at 1580 a.m. The John and Gordy Family Show. Gordy's out today in Catherine. Lake is in the studio with us today.
Sam is here still, of course, and Sam has a very important announcement that he has to get
so
out.
So important.
So important.
That the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Available on Madison's east and west sides or online at verlo.com.
Nicely done. 735 so and 77 so degrees. Scary. I know. He does it by heart.
I know. He heard Gordy say it so many times.
I'm like a parrot or something.
You are.
He just memorized it.
It's good.
Wow.
Media world.
I feel like
now.
I have Alzheimer's.
Yeah, me too, because I could never do that. Never could do that. It's not Media World exactly. No. Okay.
It is not. It's your special guest. Jim Santel is with us. He's got a fantastic program. Have you ever listened to Amicus?
I have many times.
You have?
Yes.
Well.
Yeah, on Saturdays. 2 hours.
2 hours.
He gets it done.
9 to 11. Do you have a second program, or does it rerun, or what?
Through Catherine's Good Graces, you can also hear it's rebroadcast on Sunday at 2 o'clock.
There you go.
And so it's still timely. By Monday morning, it's not very timely because the way the news is working in 2024 and before.
Seriously.
But yes, Monday, a Saturday morning live, you can call in. Mm-hmm. A Sunday afternoon at then rebroadcast.
One of the very rare programs that are live on the weekend here on WMDX.
Yeah.
Very proud.
All right. Well, let's get to some legal stuff that happened in the last couple of days here. And that is a Trump-appointed judge has just blocked Biden's administrative rule banning most non-compete restrictions. So tell us about this decision. This is incredible. You know, non-competes are just really unfair to a lot of people in America. And he was trying to help Americans out so they can get a job again just as easily if they lose one. But these non-competes are very unfair to employees. What's happening with that?
Absolutely. And John, Catherine, you've got it just right. Based upon all the evidence out there, we know that banning these non-competes, which is what the Biden administration wanted to do, does an executive rule, an executive order through an agency called the Federal Trade Commission. That's kind of the nuts and bolts of it. But we know that banning these things would increase workers' earnings by about $400 billion in the next decade. $400 billion. Agreements affect about 1 in 5 workers, about 30 million people in our nation. So it's a huge impact. Biden administration comes along and says, you know what? These things are not wise. Economically, they're not good for Americans. And what happens, of course, is you've got a group that goes into a federal district court. Once again, Northern District of Texas. We have heard from them before.
Boy.
This is also the right?
Right.
Recall the federal district court judge. His name was Kesmerick, who stopped the distribution of mifepristone a couple of years ago. Same district,
awesome.
Fifth Circuit, also this very conservative circuit there. And Judge Ada Brown is her name. She basically rules that the antitrust agency, the FTC, lacks authority. The Biden administration cannot do this, can't issue substantive rules in this case to address these unfair methods of competition. And not only does she do that, but prohibits the companies from restricting those abilities, and does it nationwide in scope. So this is not just the Northern District of Texas, not just Fifth Circuit, but stops it, permanent injunction, and stops it nationwide. Now, almost certainly the Biden administration will appeal this to the Fifth Circuit. Good luck there, as we've seen before, but maybe this will go up to the Supreme Court in maybe this term, coming term, but huge case because it shows the interface again between what's happening in our courts, the importance of getting judges who there are reasonable and sensible, and your pocketbook and economics in America in 2024.
Well, the big issue here is that the Supreme Court has decided that the administrative state has taken too much power. And, yes. and in this case, I don't see it as an administrative task. It's an executive order by the president. Isn't that in his official capacity? Can't he not do it? How could that be ruled not possible, or, you know, that he can't do that? Right. How can he do that?
And the answer is that's exactly what the Biden administration, of course, was arguing in front of Judge Brown, saying, you know what? He's the executive, that's the execute on the law, the FTC created by Congress, given these authorities to do things in these areas. Congress doesn't like this, Congress can act. Again, good luck with that anytime soon, right? But in the absence of action, the executive branch presidents take action. And what she says is, nope, can't do this, too far, too broad. It's kind of an invocation, although she doesn't use these words, of what's called the major questions doctrine. Supreme Court has said recently, if it's big and it's new, we don't like it. And so that we may recall as well that when it came to the COVID vaccine, again, the FDA there and the agent and the government generally requiring, attempting to require that businesses vaccinate their employees or certify testing routinely. There again, ultimately, the Supreme Court says too big, too new. We're not going to let you do it. Shades of that with Judge Brown stopping this from happening. The only good thing here is you can be certain that the Justice Department, which is litigating this, will take this up to the Fifth Circuit. We could see it before the Court of Appeals this coming term. In the meantime, the rule is blocked and non-competes remain accessible for companies in America. And this attempt, once again, to work on things that make Americans better in terms of economics and put more money in your pocketbook, that is stopped by virtue of what one single federal district court judge does in the Northern District of Texas. Stunning.
You know, I've only been in one industry for over 30 years now, radio, and that's where non-competes have always existed. I've always known about them. I was always concerned about them. Other industries, I did not know. What other industries use non-competes? I mean, 30 million people, you said? More?
Yes, 30 million people. It's very common out there in the business world, and again, I don't want to say that there are not arguments in favor of it. Yes, you don't want to steal intellectual property and you want to have some, you invest in people. Catherine, that's exactly what you're talking about, right? You're incredibly accomplished professional in your area. And yes, you pick up and leave and go someplace else immediately. You're kind of not stealing, but you're using the benefits of what you've got. So we get the reason for doing them initially. The question is always when it comes to these, what is their scope? What is their length of time, right? You can't stop somebody from getting employment for years and years. And really, what is their scope, too? If you stop them from getting any employment, that's plainly not right. And you also want to encourage competition, right? That's what this is all about. You want to have people out there who are engaging and thinking of new ideas, your innovations from one company to the next. All that creativity is kind of stopped when you are engaging in wild non-compete situations.
Right. It seems like it's not free market at that point. You're controlling it dramatically. All right. Well, why don't we move on to another case, a big case, and this is a case from Arizona, and that is proof of citizenship. I thought this is just outrageous initially, and it's kind of catching on with other red states as well, where they want to have proof of citizenship, and it seems like an extra piece of paperwork or an extra process that a lot of people are going to have to go through in order to just simply vote. Another roadblock ahead. So what's going out there in Arizona?
Yep, and this is both Arizona, which again, as the two of you, all your listeners know well, it's significant because what? It's a battleground state, right? And with people voting in Arizona is going to make a difference when it comes to what happens in 70 days or so. So here, once again, Arizona, you may recall past years, Arizona also passed some legislation having to do with what's called ballot harvesting and going to the wrong precinct. The Supreme Court, in a major decision called Brnovich, coming out of Arizona a number of years ago, permitted those restrictions on voting to go ahead. It's one of two major cases that restricted the Voting Rights Act and really sent the Department of Justice back on its heels. So now we've got Arizona comes along and says, you know what? Before you can register to vote anywhere in Arizona, we require you to come forward with proof of citizenship, okay? So if I'm a new voter, I come in and I say, yes, I'd like to vote. Unlike here in Wisconsin where, yes, we require you to establish proof of residency, right? And then identification to vote itself. We've got same day registration here in Wisconsin. There in Arizona, in order to do that, I've got to come up with proof of citizenship, that I'm United States citizenship. Ask yourself how many of you right now would have access to a birth certificate or something else like that that would confirm that. And so, John, it's exactly what you said. It's another attempt to try to suppress voting. And what happens is that this goes up to the Supreme Court on what's called its emergency docket. Another reason to be concerned here. Mm-hmm. This is kind of the dark docket, if you will. I don't ascribe to that view. But emergency docket, what happens is it's so dramatic that the request is stop this right away because of its impact. And the Supreme Court kind of splits the baby in half, if you will. The Supreme Court basically says that when it comes to the new registrants, Arizona can do this. You can require people before they register to prove that they are citizens of the United States of America. They split because, again, it appears to a majority, it's an unsigned opinion, but we can tell from some of the tea leaves here. What they don't do, and this is the only saving grace, is they don't support that portion of the rule that says for existing voters, voters already registered, they don't have to come in with proof of citizenship. They're already registered. They do not enjoin it. They do stop the enforcement of that portion. So voting for those people who are registered in Arizona, that goes ahead. But all the new registrants coming in now in Arizona, I've got to come in with proof of citizenship. It is another attempt, like Brnovich, like these other cases out there, to restrict voting in America when, at a time when voting is critical. It's always been critical.
It's always.
But especially now.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of an amazing thing because normally when you're getting your driver's license, you bring in proof of citizenship anyway.
Proof of residency.
You bring in your birth certificate, a wedding license, whatever. Right?
Right. And to your good point, and the answer is absolutely yes. And so you'd like to think many people will be able to comply with this. It is just, you know, the death by a thousand cuts, right?
Yes.
All these little things that make it more difficult. You know, voting rights, the post-Civil War amendments, everything designed to improve access to voting in America. And every single one of these things, I sometimes wonder, gosh, they stay up at night thinking, what else can we do?
What else can we come up with?
From voting, right? Yeah. And may not have a huge impact, but, oh, that'll keep some people from voting. Let's come up with more ideas. And as I said, Arizona before, a very vast area is one of the things that they restricted. That still is the law in Arizona is you can't go from Native American Indian Reservation, and pick up votes and pick up ballots, absentee ballots. Nothing to suggest that they're not credible votes, they're not good votes. You can't do that. You're requiring individuals to show up at a polling place and individually provide those to the clerk. A huge imposition, and again, disenfranchising many people in Arizona, including many members of our Native American indigenous population there. That's purposeful. And that, the Supreme Court said, is perfectly fine.
I saw a story yesterday, just an amazing story out of Texas, where they're having problems signing people up to get their driver's licenses. That you have to set up an appointment, and the appointments are 2 to 3 months out.
Oh, come on.
Now, this would affect most people getting their first driver's license, their first voter ID, and they would have to set up an appointment with somebody at the DMV there in Texas, and they don't have enough people to take them, so the appointments are 2 to 3 months out, which could put you past the election.
100%.
So it's another obstacle.
Right. And there again, you know, the broader issue that I always think about is, you know, I worked for government for 30 years, the federal government. The whole idea behind government is what service, right? Mm-hmm. It's to help citizens, it's helped residents. And you try to bring those barriers to doing things down. When you impose those barriers, you're doing just the opposite. And you're not serving the constituents you're elected, you're appointed to serve. That's also the problem. Good government should make things maybe not easier in the literal sense of that word, but should facilitate access of our residents to the trappings of life. And when you do things like that, you're going in the opposite direction. That's the concern.
Jim, right. You are amazing. I don't know how you keep track of all this. Well, James Santel.
We have a few more cases. We want to talk about Jack Smith's latest and Vonnie Willis.
Do you want to keep him for another
segment?
Yeah,
definitely another segment.
Jim, can you stick around?
Absolutely.
I am here with you for the rest of the day, the rest of the year. How's that?
Come home with me.
All
right. WMDX.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Morty here from the Mad Radio Morning Show. When you text us at Civic Media, our text line is sponsored by Rocket Industrial in Madison, chosen by 80% of Fortune 500 manufacturers in the United States that want to package with less. RocketIndustrial.com.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
WMDX 92.7 and 1580 AM, the John and Gordy Family Show with Catherine Lake filling in for Gordy this morning. And we have Jim Santel, our attorney, on the air right now with us, and we're asking him questions about the current legal.
You love talking to Jim. You're like a pig in poo. You just love talking with Jim about the law. I love listening to you guys talk about the law because he knows it all. You got all the questions. It's good. It's good.
I do.
It is great fun in both directions, right? And it's good. Civic media, all about civics, right?
Seriously.
So important to do it.
Absolutely. And the Chevron doctrine, is that what I'm thinking about the administrative process? Okay. The broad authority of the administration.
Yeah.
Right. This is I would say it's the second biggest case after immunity. June 28th, Supreme Court basically changes the way government works. Cases called Loper Bright Enterprises rejects 40 years of tradition that basically says if the legislation by the Congress is unclear, ambiguous, who do you go to? Who do you go to in life? You go to the people who know what they're talking about. You go to the experts, right? You go to the people who have got expertise in an area. Supreme Court June 28th says no more. We're not going to defer anymore to the agencies. And stunningly, what you have is the Chief Justice writing these major opinions saying, you know what? Agencies don't have expertise. We do, meaning we're the courts.
Yeah.
And again, read that opinion. It is almost as stunning as the immunity decision a few days later. That's what also codifies now this attack upon agencies, civil servants doing their job for America, and we don't like them. It's a part of the political view, which is this deep, dark state once again out there, tens of thousands of people doing things we don't know, it's opaque, and just the opposite is true. You've got reliable experts making good decisions in America, and because of political reasons, the Supreme Court has bought into this notion that they are to be stopped, and the Supreme Court adopted that, again, rejecting 40 years, when have you heard this before, right? 40 years of tradition. It's worked. Supreme Court says, it's unworkable. No evidence of that,
right.
But that's the rule now in America.
Well, they're making a lot of decisions. We're not even going to talk about a lot of the decisions that are based just on the Chevron decision alone, saying that, the administration can't do this, they can't do this, or at least the court, the judges are unsure, so they're actually ruling against the administrative state at this point.
I'll give you just a couple more statistics since we're talking numbers this morning. 7,000 appellate and district court opinions have relied upon Chevron in the past 40 years. 70, that sounds like a smaller number, it actually isn't. 70 are Supreme Court cases. Mm-hmm. So this is a core notion in our jurisprudence, and it's no more because of what a majority of the Supreme Court said. It's too early to tell, but this can have major impacts, again, upon your engagement with, you go down the street to the Department of Housing and Urban Development and Health and Human Services, Social Security, IRS, and all of them with discretion and the expertise. You may not agree with them. That's great. That's the American system. But robbing them of the capacity to exercise things based upon what they know, the people who are in the know. And again, this also comes from COVID, right? That notion that, gosh, we don't trust medical people. Masks, vaccines, all of that stuff is voodoo medicine. No, it's not. It's just the opposite. But we don't trust those people. So let's put together this conspiracy that says that they're out to get us. And it's just so destructive.
That's exactly what it is, as a matter of fact. And the other case I want to talk about here, the Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas urged his colleagues to consider a challenge to the authority of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA.
OSHA?
So, right. I mean, that when I read this, and they didn't take the case, but it can come up again, and Thomas is out there saying, oh, OSHA has way too much power. They're controlling workplaces. They're creating a safety.
They're dismantling.
Isn't this insane?
Absolutely. And again, as you say, it's a part of their summertime docket, decided not to take the case, but you do get justices like Clarence Thomas, who once again, thankfully, at least for now, amidst this very conservative Supreme Court, he's sort of the outlier. But as he said before, let's turn back once again. Let's go back in time before OSHA, before we had this agency again that works on behalf of the American public and workers in particular,
right,
to keep you safe and secure, to make certain that your workplace is a place where you can go with some assurance that you will not be killed and you will not be harmed. We need to rethink that. And this is a part of Clarence Thomas's overall view. We see it a lot in the guns cases as well, that the basis for all present jurisdiction should be, what did we do a couple of hundred years ago? What did James Madison think about machine guns and about AR-15s and even about all these other things? Well, the reality is that the Constitution should be a living Constitution. He says, nope, if the founding fathers did not understand it, if there's not basically a twin in the past somehow, you can't do it. He has done this before, very notably again in another opinion. He said that we should reconsider that thing that happened in 1954, 1956, when the Supreme Court said that we need to enforce Brown versus Board of Education. Separate is inherently unequal when it comes to education, other things. He's recently written that, you know, maybe we need to rethink our very aggressive enforcement of racial equality in America. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
right?
My goodness is right.
And if your listeners, I know your listeners feel the same way, the hair in the back of your neck should go up that even one justice of a 9-member Supreme Court is talking about this, turning back time on all of these things in a nation that necessarily proceeds forward. The arc going forward is almost always a positive thing. He wants to turn it back. This OSHA thing is just the latest on that.
You know, I got to bring this up because I read an interesting article about another interpretation of the Constitution that in the Constitution it calls for the promotion of the general welfare. And by making cases against OSHA or gun safety, all of that is against what the Constitution promises for the general welfare.
Right. Absolutely. It's in the preamble, right?
Right.
All these things that again, James Madison wrote this. It's Federalist Papers. It's, again, great civic stuff, right?
It's
basically the premise upon which our Constitution is based. There's also the Take Care Clause inside the Constitution that says the executive has got to take care that the laws of the Constitution be properly executed. All these things that best in our government, the obligation to take care of us. And
they're ignoring that now. With all these cases, they're ignoring it. All right.
And the other point, I think it's implicit in what you're saying, John, is where's the Congress in all this? Think about all the things we've talked about even this morning.
Yeah.
They're the group that should be making legislation on this. You want to change OSHA? You want to change these voting issues, other things? There are elected officials. Nobody elected the Supreme Court. We've got reasons for putting them in place for their lives may be.
Right.
But where's Congress? Where's Congress in all this? They should be acting.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you for being a guest again. We just got to have you on more
weekends.
Often.
You'll find him on WMDX. You bet. Look for Jim Santel.
All right.
Thanks, John.
Captain, always a pleasure to be with you. Take care.
Thanks,
take
Jim.
Care. All right,
yeah,
that's
it's all
it,
you.
I guess.
Yeah, you're out.
Right?
It's all you.
No, it's all me. Well, thanks for joining us this morning, Catherine Lake, filling
thanks,
in
Sam.
For Gordy this morning, and Sam.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Greg Wansnyder from Carroll University joins us about the new school year, and we talk about the benefits of reading, libraries, and what is on Calvin's reading list. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
As a dairy farmer from Lodi, I know that Joan Baldwin delivers for Wisconsin farmers, because when our farm faced tough times, Joan stepped up to fight for us. Working to lower taxes, improve rural roads, and secure support for farm programs, Joan Baldwin puts farmers first. So when it comes to protecting my farm and my cows, I trust Joan Baldwin. She's always stood with us, now let's stand with her. Vote Joan Baldwin for State Senate. Paid for by Volunteers for Agriculture, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's agent or committee.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.